I want to deviate a little this morning, and instead of speaking from the book of Revelation, I want us to go back to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You know, every book in the Bible is special, and it's there for a reason. And the Apostle Paul, you know, for us who read the Bible and study the Bible, we know where the Apostle Paul came from. A man who's steeped in religion, trained to be a Pharisee, had the best teacher available, excelled above everybody, all his peers. Paul was at the top of them all. He had everything on his side. I mean, this was a very special man. Looking from a point of view, from a secular point of view, Apostle Paul had everything before he was an apostle. And he was in the right tribe, everything done exactly, precisely according to the law, came from the best tribe. He was somebody very special. But then one day, and filled with zeal, so much zeal that he went out of his way to persecute those who deviated from his beliefs, put them in prison. He took the time and spent the energy to do that until the day that Jesus appeared to him and everything changed. And here in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, he talks about that, where he came from. And he had so much going for him. But when he met the Lord, his value system changed. His whole perception of what was valuable changed. And what was so precious to him suddenly lost all its value. It lost it all. Now that really should be the story of every one of us. Because we cannot live in two worlds. Can live in two kingdoms. We only live in the kingdom of God. You can't live in two kingdoms. You can't live in the kingdom of the world and then also in the kingdom of God and try to reap the best of two worlds. Because you know that's not gonna do it. And so let's read here from verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Isn't that something? What he counted gain, what he counted precious and valuable, suddenly became a loss. What a big change. What a big change. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. One day it's valuable, the next day it's rubbish. You know, when Jesus comes into your life, your value system changes. It has to change. We cannot come into this kingdom with things that were valuable to us, but they're not valuable to God. Because they're useless. They're absolutely useless. They have no meaning or value whatsoever. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Because he had the righteousness. We didn't read the first verses there, but he said, as far as the law was concerned, I was blameless. I tell you, not many people could say that. as far as the law is concerned, blameless. Because we know that it was impossible to keep the law. And here's a man who has the boldness to say, I was blameless. Nobody could point a finger to me concerning the law. Blameless. That was very, very special. The zeal and the dedication and the devotion of this man. These things were just above measure. And suddenly in one day, all of that turned into loss. Lost all its value, all its attraction. Everything that he went after suddenly became worthless to him. It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. A righteousness that came through that blameless walk before the law. Earning his righteousness. Earning because he was so good and so wonderful and did everything according to the law. Suddenly, he found out that kind of righteousness is not what God's looking for. At least that's not what God is interested in. There's only one way we can become righteous, and that is to be clothed with his righteousness by faith. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. One of the most beautiful verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's our connection with him that makes us righteous. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to step out of what was so valuable to him and actually walk towards the thing that he persecuted and hated and found this righteousness that I was looking for. A right standing with God. Right standing with God. Nothing between God and me. So how is that possible? It's only possible when we're connected with him. We can't earn it. We cannot earn it. Not with the best intentions in the world can we earn that righteousness. It's a gift. It's a gift. He just gave it to us. And that's not where I'm going this morning. But I think we would do well to become more righteousness conscious. And turn away from trying to earn things and trying to impress ourselves. And wake up in the morning and say, thank God, I can go into this day with confidence because I am in right standing with God. The Belgians have a way to say, it's a little hard to translate, but they have an expression that says, nothing can go wrong with this day anymore. Well, if we wake up with that mind in the morning, I think nothing can go wrong. Even if the devil unleashes everything he has against you, if God is for you and with you, he even said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You know, I'm dealing with some things not locally with our people, hopefully not, but elsewhere, where I begin to see that the Word of God becomes information to people, not life. And the Word of God was not given to us to increase information. It comes to us to give us life, and that more abundantly. And people don't change. It's hard for people to understand that I stand in a righteousness relationship with God Almighty. God, my righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord, my righteousness. It's a gift. And because he is my righteousness, I have boldness to say, he's my provider and he's my healer. He's my buckler and he's my strength. And therefore, I can overcome and will overcome. But you know, when the Word of God just becomes information to us, then and we don't connect with him in that standing of righteousness, then we look around for help and we try to do all things and we fail. We fail. Let me tell you something. Even if the economy fails, we will not fail if we stand in righteousness with God. It shouldn't come to us. And somehow, our standing with God is reflected in our lifestyles. The way we walk, the way we live, the way our relationships go, the way we handle our finances, our health, and all of that comes from this one thing. Right standing with God. Well, it has to be. It has to be. Our faith in God Almighty is a faith that works. God is not passive. He's not aloof. He's a very present help in trouble. Now we're going to run a little deep this morning. I hope you're with me. You know, we talk about growing up spiritually. And there are some people who are happy to be infants. And that's fine. We, you know, God never forces himself on anybody, and neither do we. But when we are spiritual infants, we need to understand it's going to cost us. It will cost you. But when we begin to grow deep with him, we begin to reap the benefits of our faith in him. Because God is looking for maturity. He is looking for mature sons and daughters of the kingdom. Well, let's read on. Let's do 9 again. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I know this is Apostle Paul speaking here, that I may know him. Somebody who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament has a yearning in his heart to know him. There's something on the inside that says, I want to know him. I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. But God, that's what God intends for every one of us, that we will know the power. Read Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul said, there's a resurrection power working toward us. God set us up for victory. God set us up to overcome. God set us up through what Jesus did at the cross to always win in every situation. Because resurrection power is working toward us. I think that's something that we need to be conscious of. That we need to change the way we think. Because God put us here to win and not to lose. I think God's tired of religion. You know, sometimes I'm tired of churchism. Because the Word of God is so powerful. It's so strong. And then we go around and we mess things up by categorizing things, and looking into the Word of God with secular eyes and minds. Well, this reveals the heart of God to us. And I'm not surprised when I look at a man who has seen so many wonders in his life, who reached the Gentile world in his lifetime, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, comes with a yearning in his heart that I may know him. And there's the key there. There's the key. Because outside of him, it's hard to win the battles. It's hard to win the battles if you're outside of him. It's hard. And we come with reasons and explanations. There's one explanation that God gives to us, and that is Jesus on the cross paying for what went wrong to fix it. Resurrection power. I tell you, when the devil thought he had him and he was in his hands and in his power, resurrection power came and he rose up and inflicted the final defeat on the devil. Resurrection power. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I think when I look at what's going on in Christianity, I think we don't have that yearning to die to ourselves. We have something to live for, but not something to die for. And when we have something to die for, we will always win. It's hard to die. It's hard to die. I mean, if you want to know how hard it is to die, just look at Christianity. Steeped in religion, with no perception, no revelation of righteousness and what it means to us. Look at Christianity. I don't think Jesus died for that, for what we see around us today. I don't think so. That's not the life that Jesus came to give us. There's more. There's more. And may God stir up that yearning inside of every one of us. That I may know him and the resurrection. The power of his resurrection. You cannot fix spiritual problems by natural means. And I think most of our problems stem from spiritual misconceptions. You cannot compare spiritual things with natural. You cannot fix spiritual things mentally. Because your mind is something, the mind has no access to the spiritual. No access to the spiritual. Your mind was never made to understand God. But the Apostle Paul goes on, and he says in verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained, I have not arrived, or am already perfected. But I press on. I press on." And God knows if there's something that the church is lacking today, it is the will to press on. It's the will to press on. Now, I may be speaking to the choir this morning. But I know the stirring in my heart that was put there by God. That it's time for the church to press on. Because I don't know if you noticed, but our world is changing. And fast. And I'm not here to discourage anybody, God forbid. But I want to tell you, don't hope for better days. Don't think the leaders, our political leaders, will be able to fix this mess that we're in. Don't go there. You'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. The day when you think you're going to pay your debt by borrowing, and that's a smart idea, you've already lost it. And the world is bankrupt. It's bankrupt not only economically, the world is bankrupt of wisdom, it's bankrupt of good ideas, it doesn't know where to go and what to do. There's only one way for us to do well, and that is to be found in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. And that's the key. That is the key. I'm telling you today, that is the key to overcome in this world and in this world and the way it is, God can still give us life and that more abundantly. But it's in our connection with Him. Am I too serious for some? It can get a lot more serious. It's disappointing. It's disappointing to see that people who have met Him try to fix their problems without Him. It's disappointing. And all we do is make the mess bigger. We dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. I tell you, one moment, one word from God can change everything. One moment in His presence can change everything. Can open our spiritual eyes and we can see where we are and the exit. God promises us that in every situation He will show us the way out. Do you know that if you're struggling today with issues, doesn't matter what it is, there's a way out of it. There's a God's way out of it. There's a man's way out of it, and it'll just increase the mess. But there's God's way out of it, and that will take you to that life that God has promised us in Christ. But it's in Him. Verse 12, again, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's talking about that one thing that Jesus has that you need to do, that He has for you to do. There's something that God wants you to do. Now, I haven't spoken about this for a while, but I think we've covered this topic pretty well here in this church, that every one of us has a purpose. And God equipped you for that purpose. There's something that you need to do. Now, you know, God help us. But I have yet to find a person today that's not busy. And I want to make a statement here, and please don't hate me now. Okay, I struggle with busyness too. I speak to us, not to you. Busyness destroys the church. I want to say that again. Busyness destroys the church. You know, when Martha and Mary were there, when Jesus was at their house, and Mary was sitting at His feet, and Martha was busy serving, He said to her, "You are busy with many things. But Mary chose the one thing that cannot be taken away from her." Now, we're busy with many things. But I think the time has come to be busy with one thing. Somebody say, well, I have a business to run. What do you mean? Be God's businessman. Be God's whatever you do. Be an ambassador where you are. And say to yourself, I have one thing to do. Because we are so, our minds are so fractured that we can focus on nothing. I sometimes sit with people and you find it hard to have a conversation in one on one topic. Because you're talking about this thing, their mind's already there. And you talk about that, then they jump over there. And they find it hard to discipline their minds to pursue a thread of a train of thought. Nobody here has that problem, of course. I can see it in your eyes. What's he talking about? But I know it's hard to reduce the way we spend our days on many things to focus on one thing. But it doesn't matter what you do and what you do in your secular life or, you know, what you do for your living. But when we do it for God, it changes everything. And we understand that I'm here for God. That's why I am here. And I do this because of Him. And boy, we need to focus. Let's read on. I'll let Apostle Paul speak, then you don't blame me for that, all right? Verse 12, not that I am already that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And what he's talking about, the things that are behind, are all the good things that he thought made him special in the beginning. And I forget those things. I don't go back into my past. Although it was glorious at some stage, I don't go back there. I don't fret over it. I don't feel the loss of not having it anymore. I forget the past. The good old days. The good old days. I forget that. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that goal. I press. God help us. The devil is so smart to bring all these things into our lives and we forget the goal. Because we are so distracted by so many things. And you become a jack of all trades and a master of none. And that's the one thing, is that one thing that we'll be accountable for. That one thing that we're accountable for. Just the one thing. I press toward that goal, the upward call of Christ. And you know, the church is a body. The church is not the pastor. I'm just a member of the body. But the church is a body. The church is a body. And the body has one goal. And everybody is involved in this one goal. It doesn't matter what you do. You're part of a body. You're part of a body. And you produce into the body, or you deliver into the body, or you make a contribution into the body. That makes the body successful. That makes the body successful. As Paul writes in Ephesians, what every joint supplies, what every joint supplies makes the body successful. And I know people say, well, I'm busy. I'm too busy. Well, the body needs your contribution. The body needs your contribution. What is it? Well, I don't know. You need to figure that out. You need to figure that out. What that one thing is that God wants you to contribute. Everybody's responsible. Everybody's responsible. Now watch here. You know, I can see the wheels turning. Pastor doesn't understand. Well, I don't have to. Because I didn't write this. I'm working hard to get there myself. Now watch, verse 15. Therefore, let us, that's all of us now, as many as are mature. There comes that word now. As many as are mature, have this mind. As many as are mature, let's have this mind. Now, maturity, one aspect of maturity is responsibility. We're all co-responsible for this body. We're all co-responsible. Paul says, let's all have this mind, as many of us as are mature. And that's why I spoke in a little earlier and said, you know, when we're children, we prefer and we've accepted that we will not grow further than spiritual infanthood. Then you cannot be, you don't step into your responsibility as a member of the body. Maturity. When I look at the world and I look at Scripture and I see things go exactly the way the Bible said it would go, exactly, I say to myself, I think the last lap of the church is up to us to run. We're going to run the last lap. It's up to us to finish strong. It's up to us to finish strong. I want to finish strong. I don't want to run all my life and then finish weak or maybe not finish. I want to finish strong. I've put too much into this. I invested my whole life into this. I want to finish strong. You know, and it's tragic. You know, I've mentioned that before. We have a marathon in South Africa. It's called the Comrades Marathon. They run May 31st every year. 50 kilometers. It goes over an area that is called a Valley of 1,000 Hills. It's valleys and hills. Up and down and up and down and up and down and up and 50 kilometers. And thousands of people come from around the world to run. Thousands. Tens of thousands come. And 6 o'clock in the morning, they take off. And there by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they trickle in one here, one there. Most of them don't finish. Most don't finish. It's a grueling race. Boy, if you could run the marathon and just finish, let alone be one of the first ones. If you could just finish, you're a hero. That's why people go there. You're a hero. This is the race that we're running. There's a lot of, you don't know what is worse, uphill or downhill. You go uphill, and you feel, you know, my muscles are tearing apart. And you go downhill, other muscles are. You don't know what is worse, up or down, up or down, up and down. And that's the world we live in. It's up and down and up and down. But we cannot look at those and be influenced by that. We need to finish and finish strong. Keep our eye on the goal. And not on the ups and downs, but let's keep our eye on the goal because we're running a race that we must win. Boy, I come from a family, and I don't want to be too long. I come from a family where there were many ministers. Most of them have passed on. I'm third generation. And they've worked hard. They invested. They walked a faith walk with God. And they're up there now. I don't want them, when I show up and say, you failed to carry the baton to the finish line. I don't want them to say that. I want to take it right to the end and say, I'm finished strong. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may be found in him. And you look at the Apostle Paul's life. He was stoned. He was put in jail. Whipped how many times? Shipwrecked. Went through hunger and thirst. But he finished. The ups and downs were many. But he finished. God help us. You have no idea how disappointing it is if you see God's people become interested in other goals. They drift. They drift. Once there was a time when they were always there, loving the Lord, feeding on the Word of God, worshiping the Lord. And then you see them drift off and other things become more interested, more interesting. And you say to yourself, we have a race to run. We have a contribution to make. We have to win this thing. I hate it when I see how the secular spirit comes into the church and influences everything there and takes the life out of us and reduces us to a religious bunch of people. I hate to see how we succumb to the secular spirit and lose our power. It's a hard thing to see that this thing that God calls the church, the body of Christ, has given itself to other things. While we're running a race that we need to win. We cannot afford to lose, people. I'm telling you, we cannot afford to lose this race. We cannot afford that. You know, I'm always very, very conscious of the fact that I should not go to places that scare people and stuff like that. But I want to tell you what's coming for this world. The safest place is to be in him. Listen to me today. The safest place is in him. Don't think there is safety outside of him. Don't think so. In this world, in the climate that we see in the world today, we cannot afford to be found outside of him. And think about that. Because I'm telling you today, we are living in a different world. The world we live in today is not the same as the world of a year ago. It's not the same. The safest place is in him. Let's have that zeal. Let's have that zeal to pursue that goal. As somebody says, I'm going to win this thing. I'm not going to turn aside to the watering hole and camp there. I want to win this thing. Well, we have to win. We have to win this thing. We cannot afford to lose. We cannot afford to lose. Got to win. It says, therefore, now watch this. And I'm going to pray for this, I'm telling you. Let us, as many, verse 15, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. If you don't agree with me this morning, God will reveal that to you. God will reveal that to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. To the degree that we've already attained, let's walk in the light that we have. Let's walk in the light that we have. We know a lot. Here in this church, I tell you, we know a lot. I sometimes think we know too much. We know too much. Because we don't walk in all the light that we have. We don't walk in all that light. You know, we need to walk in the light that we have. That's where the victory is. That's where we overcome. That's where you can make it through a shipwreck. That's where you can make it through being thrown unfairly and unjustly into prison and be beat up. You make it. Whether it's uphill or downhill, you can make it. We can make it. We have everything that God equipped us with, everything to win. I think we can win. God looks down on us and he says, I think you can win. Just keep your eye on the goal. Jesus did that. Hebrews, book of Hebrews tells us, Jesus could win over the cross and then what he went through there because he had his eye on the joy that was set before him. He knew the other side of the cross is the victory. That's why you could handle the cross. We have gone too far to give up. We've invested too much to walk away from it. We've invested too much to walk away from it. We've gone too far to turn around. We've gone too far. We're at the end of the ages. It would be the most foolish thing to turn around. I've seen this. We had a student in Bible school. I often think of him. Funny thing is, his last name was, it was a Dutch last name, meant cemetery. That was his last name. How can you win with a name like that? And he went through Bible school. He was there every week, did everything. And 1 week before we finished, he went back to the world. You see, you've invested the whole year. And you were faithful at it. And 1 week, 1 week, you go back into the world. I don't want to be like Mr. Cemetery. I want to win this thing. We've gone too far to give up. We're set up for victory. And I believe that the right standing with God will put us over. Right standing with God. Apostle Paul writes and says, those with the weak knees, come on, strengthen yourself. And the hands that hang down, strengthen yourself. We're too close now. We're already there. And we can win. We can win. Amen. Amen. Come on, give us a good amen there. Amen. Nothing to feel bad about. We have all reason to feel good about this. Jesus paid too much to let us go. And I don't believe he wants to see us suffering. Now, I know it's cold in here and you're probably freezing, but I want to pray for some of you today. We're going to draw on that resurrection power. We're going to draw on that. We're going to use some of that this morning. Are you ready for that? Don't look at me now. Resurrection power is working toward you. Resurrection power. Don't look at the man. Look at the one who beat them all. He has what you need. He has. What you're struggling with, he already overcame. And he's giving you the victory. And this morning, if you're sick, or you're struggling with anything, whether it's family or finances or health, whatever it is, if you struggle, you feel this thing is sucking the life out of you, then I want to pray with you. We're going to just do what the Bible tells us to do, and we're going to draw on that resurrection power that is there for us. We're not fighting in our own strength. Righteousness is a gift. And that right standing with God will open that door. I'm going to ask all of us to close your eyes, and if you want me to pray with you this morning, please come. Please come. Let's take advantage of the grace that is there for us. We search our hearts today. And if the devil has sent a distraction your way, you can overcome and get back to where God wants you to go. You need me to pray with you this morning, and then quickly come to the front. You know, sometimes we just draw that line and we say, this is as far as it goes. No more of this. No more of this. No more. We draw that line. We draw that line. And this is where it stops. This is where it stops. Amen. Boldness in him. I'm so glad that I can heal nobody. I wish I could. But I know somebody who can. I know somebody who would love to do that. And it doesn't matter what you're struggling with this morning. We're going to take a hold of him, right? We're going to take a hold of him. And we say, this is where we turn this thing around. This is the day where we turn this thing around.